Lord, here we are. We've come to do your will. Please prepare our hearts until we're truly ready. Amen. Well, this is an exciting turn of events, dear ones. I've been longing more and more for a partnership with the angels, which I've scrupulously avoided for 35 years, because I was mistaken in the New Age, thinking that spirit guides were angels and God's helpers. When I found out they were demons masquerading, I wanted nothing to do with anyone but God. That truly was a knee-jerk reaction that the Lord has led me out of since he's taken me to heaven, and I meet so many there that do his bidding, including angels. Tonight, after finishing Kevin Vasconi's book, Dancing with Angels, his first book, there's a series of three, I prayed the prayer in the back and felt it deeply resonate in my heart. I know I want to be involved in healing. I've always wanted to alleviate suffering and have the healing gift. And I remember the time immediately after I was saved and filled with the Spirit, I rebuked cancer of the sinuses in a man who was confined to a wheelchair, and he was healed. I was so happy. Well, his sinuses were healed. I don't think I had the faith for his legs to be healed. But I felt so good. But life intervened, and this gift was never fully cultivated. Now I have another chance, and I'm giving it all I've got. I've shared with you what the Lord has shown me about healing, which is very simple. And I think that that's still quite valid, but now there's a new dimension, and that's working with angels and healing angels, and I've seen them. I know they're real, and I know they have a major role to play in these end times. So tonight after communion, Jesus was sitting before me on one of those stools in the doctor's offices have that moves around on wheels, and he was administering some kind of treatment to me. I saw something like a membrane presenting itself, sliding out of my eye and onto his waiting fingers. It was coming from the front of my eye, and then another came from the back of my eye, and he said they were filters to filter out spiritual vision. Then he dropped some liquid into my lower lid, some kind of blessed water, closed my eye, and massaged my upper lid. Then moved on to my right eye with the same procedure. I have always felt that I filtered out the demonic intentionally. I had a lot of scary experiences when I was a child. I was terrorized, so I learned to ignore those things. Being an only child without a father, I was alone quite a bit. And I realize now that the demons tormented me for hours at night when my mother was gone. Lord, I sense you want to say something. Jesus began, "You sensed right. There was much fear caught up in those filters that came out when you renounced fear. You have seen quite a lot in the Spirit, but fear has blocked more perfect vision. Now, slowly, you will learn to relax and allow me to reveal to you what I want you to see. Resting and letting go. Being open and resting. Moving in these gifts is not a three-ring circus, as many would have you believe from the past. It is a gentle process of seeing and gently moving in the Spirit." I believe he was referring to all the loud prayers, displays, and showmanship I've seen in church services. I have never liked those. And I remember seeing a very famous evangelist healer at this church, and he was so dramatic. The lady behind me got healed of blindness in one eye. And when the night was over, I wondered, where was Jesus? I mean, there were miracles, but it just didn't sound or look like Jesus. It all seemed so theatrical to me. And I wanted to do it the Jesus way. That was not to find fault with the evangelist. I just expected something different. At this point, Jesus continued, "Well, my love, you have much to learn. Sometimes it is that way because people are so overjoyed to be healed. Nonetheless, I do agree that presentation can be theatrical. And oh, how I love the healing that comes, as natural as breathing, without fanfare and showmanship. That is one reason I want to use the souls who seek anonymity for ministry. They have nothing invested in it but my happiness and the welfare of those they minister to. And that's as it should be. Recognition of a minister for what I have done is a detestable practice, but quite hard to avoid in your culture. Nevertheless, a new class of healing prophets are being raised up. They prefer the hidden places, to be overlooked, and for others to see me rather than them, even when looking directly at them. I want them to see me. But this wave is coming, and I want your heart dwellers to be a part of this. I want them anointed to be seers and work with angels. You have worked with angels for many years without recognizing their presence. And now that the filters are removed, you will begin to see these precious creatures and loyal, very loyal, servants of mine. My people, the time is now and here for all of you to begin to seek the better gifts, especially prophecy and healing and working with angels that are sent to the earth on healing missions. There is absolutely nothing inappropriate in you calling upon, using, and acknowledging the presence of angels. This truly is the way I wish to do things, because everyone in heaven has a job to perform. Everyone serves, and they love to serve, and I love to see them serve. And they love your acknowledgement of them without idolizing their persons. It is a sweet, supportive ministry, and these messengers pack a mighty anointing to do my bidding, whether it be during a violent war or a conference on healing. My people ask me for this gift, and if you're not ready, I will prepare you. I have brought you to this channel to prepare you for the greater gifts, and humility is the absolute prerequisite. Humility and hiddenness, the desire to be seen only by my eyes. Modesty and humility go hand in hand. Those of you who chose to hide from man are nearing the end of your preparation. You will soon be entrusted with the greater gifts. In fact, all of you who have followed me up the mountain, all of you who have made a firm commitment not to go back to the lowlands, are nearing the time of your equipping. Humility and brotherly love are the two grounding virtues that you must be firmly established in before I can safely use you. Did I not say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," to those who came to me telling me how they'd healed and performed miracles in my name? That's from Matthew 7. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." That's Matthew 7:23. They knew the miracles all right, but they did not know me. That is why you are here, learning the most essential thing, to know me and be completely yielded to me, to be made ready for your equipping. Those who perform miracles without love have no part in me. For it is your love for me and for your brother that qualifies you for this anointing. So I'm telling you, do not chase after miracles. Chase after me. And when you find me, never let me go, and everything else will come when it's supposed to. Then I will prepare you to act in my stead. For did I not tell you, greater works than these shall you do? That's John 14. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I am doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Your yearning to have me forever with you, living in your heart, is your safeguard. Once this is established, I can entrust you with the power gifts because your priorities are in order. To seek these gifts while ignoring me leads to pride and vainglory and will damage my body more than if you never did any works at all. What you are and what they see in you when you minister will be replicated in their own lives. That is why I am so meticulous in training and preparing you. There must not be any vestige of self-love that could blossom into full-blown idolatry. Wow, Lord, I remember you asked Ezekiel to stop ministering in music because your bride was enamored of his gift. And this happened really with the Lord several years ago, so he stopped. Since then, we've done other things, but it was a period of time where there was just this romantic John Michael Talbot kind of aura around Ezekiel, and people were looking at us that way and not looking at the Lord, so he wanted us to stop, and we were happy to. Jesus continued, "It is the nature of your culture to exalt men. This is another work that must not be found in you, while you fiercely protect my honor by refusing to take the credit for anything except preparing and equipping you." The Lord brought this incident in the scriptures to mind just then. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had the faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." And that was in Acts 14. Jesus continued, "It is human nature, Claire, but human nature must be conquered. I have complete confidence in you, who have chosen the steep climb with all its treacherous and slippery slopes. I have confidence in you that you will defend my honor. You have sought me wholeheartedly, and I see that there is nothing dearer to your hearts than my love and presence in your lives. Yet there are others teaching how to accomplish many striking gifts in the body while I am sidelined. This is the dangerous path. Do not become enamored of bilocation and healing miracles and creative miracles, so much so that you forget about the precious love we share, my bride. You will be tempted by many who do not understand, but you will right the wrong when they assign the glory to you. So this is a new season for you, my brides. Having loved your brother as yourself, having loved me with all your heart and mind and strength, love your brothers and sisters into wholeness with my gifts to you." And that's the end of his message. So I've been drawn to praying for my angels and wanting to know more about their ministry, and I came across Kevin Basconi on Sid Roth's YouTubes, and I sensed the deep emptiness of self in him. So we bought his books. I'm just finishing Dancing with Angels 1, How to Work with the Angels in Your Life, and it is indeed bolstering my faith in the partnership the Lord is encouraging with healing angels. I'm sure there are many fine teachers out there who talk about this subject, but this is the one I felt the Lord led me to, so I'm recommending him to you. He has a total of 3 books to date on this particular subject, and it seems that he mostly uses testimonials to illustrate how the angels work with us. So I encourage you to read up on this and prepare your hearts in all humility and maturity so that you can be used of the Lord this way. But remember, there is nothing in your lives as important as that sweet one-on-one relationship with the groom of your souls, our Lord Jesus Christ.